Thank you for joining us this afternoon. This is David Foster, the Executive Director of the Blue-Green Alliance, a national strategic partnership of eight of America's largest unions and four of our country's most influential environmental organizations. We're happy to release to you today our report, Gearing Up, Smart Standards Create Good Jobs, Building Cleaner Cars. This report examines the proposed standards for fuel efficiency rules for model years 2017 to 2025 to examine exactly what happens with job creation as a result of these rules. I think many people understand that the new fuel economy rules will cut average greenhouse gas emissions significantly and raise fuel efficiency to 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025. What is important and examined in this report, though, is that these proposed standards will create an estimated 570,000 new net jobs over the base case throughout the United States, including 50,000 new jobs in light-duty vehicle manufacturing by 2030. The report also examines a couple of different scenarios in which that impact can be significantly increased if we pay attention to the domestic content in vehicles that are produced by American workers. So, for instance, if light-duty vehicle domestic content rose to 75% in 2030, that would create an additional 4,100 jobs in manufacturing that in turn would ripple through the rest of the economy to create an additional 9,000 more jobs. Also, it's important to note that important complementary policies such as the existing Advanced Technology Vehicles Manufacturing Loan Program, could play an important role in additionally boosting the number of component parts that are made in America's new generation of fuel-efficient vehicles. In short, Gearing Up report underscores a model of job creation and environmental protection in America today that can be a model for fixing other sectors of our economy. Gearing Up shows that fuel-efficient vehicles can help drive both the auto industry and the overall economy in the future. In addition, the proposed standards help move America away from its dependence on foreign oil, overall reduces carbon emissions that are causing serious climate change, and ensures a solid economic and environmental foundation for future generations of America. Before turning over to our next speakers, I want to stress how the report Gearing Up really is a template for how the auto recovery and the creation of 220,000 automotive jobs in the last 2 years, almost 500,000 manufacturing jobs during that same period of time, that this model of using smart regulatory strategies that provide clear market context for private investment. This is a model that can be applied not only in auto, but across energy production, energy efficiency in our buildings and workplaces, across industries like recycling, green chemistry, energy transmission. All of these sectors of the economy can be brought together to create the good jobs of the 21st century. That's what the Blue-Green Alliance and its 12 labor and environmental partners have been stressing. The auto industry provides us with a clear roadmap on how to move forward in the future. With that introduction, I'd now like to call on Brad Martell, international representative of the United Auto Workers and a key figure in the production of this report. Brad?
Thanks, Dave. And from the UAW, we really want to thank the Blue-Green Alliance and ACEEE for putting this report together. It really emphasizes something we believe for a long time, which is that the production of more efficient vehicles is good for jobs in the United States. And since President Obama did the auto rescue package and has put together these two fuel efficiency rules, it's bringing about really billions of dollars in investment in the domestic auto industry. And for us, that looks like a green-based revival of the industry, and it's good for jobs, good for energy security, and good for the environment. As Dave mentioned, since 2009, the auto industry, including suppliers and dealers, has added almost 220,000 jobs, and you could easily double that number with the jobs in other basic industries like steel and rubber. The auto industry is accounting in the last couple of quarters for over 30% of the increase in GDP in the United States, making it really the fastest growing sector in our economy, and it's helping to lead the economy into recovery. Here at the UAW, we have an understanding that the long-term success of the auto industry comes from meeting customer demands. And one of the top customer demands is for fuel-efficient vehicles, especially as volatile fuel prices are squeezing family budgets. That's one reason we really are strongly in support of efforts to increase fuel economy and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. In the companies where we represent workers in factory after factory and really across the whole industry, jobs are being created by bringing new technology into production. Everything from advanced transmissions, downsize and turbocharged engines, hybrids and plug-in vehicles, and the manufacturing of fuel-saving vehicles and their key components is a crucial economic development opportunity for both the near-term and the long-term future. In 2011, the UAW negotiated new agreements with General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, and jobs and investment for the future were one of our top bargaining goals. We focused on trying to understand where the fuel-efficient production, fuel-efficient technologies of the future were going to take us, how we could make that production in the United States, and we ended up getting commitments from the big three to result that will result in almost 20,000 new jobs over the course of these agreements, and many of them are concentrated in the production of fuel-saving components, from the engines to the hybrids and all that stuff. So we're very, very focused on where the technologies are taking us, how the companies can be successful, and the rules that are around fuel economy are really bringing us forward to a new future in the auto industry. So it's kind of a happy day for us, good for the environment and good for jobs.
Thank you very much, Brad. And now I'd like to call on Michael Brune, the executive director of the Sierra Club and co-chair of the board of the Blue Green Alliance. Mike?
Thanks, Dave. Good morning and good afternoon to those of you who are on the East Coast. I'm Michael Brune, executive director of the Sierra Club. And it's always a pleasure to join my colleagues at Blue Green Alliance, United Auto Workers, NRDC, and ACEEE today to release an important study. The Gearing Up report that we're releasing today confirms what almost all Americans, especially those in Michigan, already know. It tells a story about what happens when we act not just to protect our planet and to save families money at the pump, but also to ensure our auto industry is as competitive as possible. If you take political posturing out of the equation, and everybody knows that the only way to deal with high gas prices is to use less gas. Americans know it. That's why fuel-efficient vehicles are among the top sellers in the country, and that's why efficiency is rated as the most important factor in buying a car. The good news is that the Obama administration and our auto industry know this too. And they've taken a bold stance to work together on fuel efficiency standards to improve American cars and trucks and to kickstart manufacturing in our country. Their bet is already paying off. In Detroit and around the U.S., thousands and thousands of Americans are at work building the most advanced, the most fuel efficient cars and trucks in the world. And this report shows how we can expect even more progress and more American jobs in the years ahead. Our automakers have been reinvigorated largely because innovation is back at the center of their strategy. Today, auto companies worldwide are competing to put cutting-edge vehicles on the road, cars and trucks that use less oil, and cars and trucks that use no oil at all. This is what people want. This is what people are asking for. This is what is putting more and more Americans to work in the auto industry here at home. Existing and proposed fuel efficiency standards will help cars get, as you heard, up to 54.5 miles per gallon, an average of 54.5 miles per gallon, and they'll help create more than 500,000 jobs by 2030. But the benefits don't stop there. Combined with standards already in place through 2016, Obama's new proposed standards, when they're finalized, will help us take the single biggest step that any U.S. president has ever taken to cut our dependence on oil. Let me repeat that. It's the single biggest step that any U.S. president has ever taken to cut our dependence on oil. Strengthening fuel efficiency and carbon standards will also save Americans billions at the gas pump and slash dangerous pollution. Of course, there's a small group of outspoken naysayers, These are the folks who want to keep Americans and our economy tied to the pump. But they're the same folks who said that seatbelts and airbags were too burdensome. They're the same folks who said that consumers would never buy a car without tail fins. But Americans are demanding vehicles that use less fuel. These higher standards are revitalizing the auto industry, building cleaner cars that work for drivers, work for automakers, and work for the environment. So we see this analysis as great news for those of us who are looking forward to a stronger economy and a healthier future. And the Sierra Club looks forward to working with our friends at the Blue Green Alliance, United Auto Workers, and our environmental colleagues on keeping these standards strong, giving Americans the better transportation choices that they want and deserve. Let me make one final note here, which is to say that Mitt Romney has said that, quote, Obama's energy policies are confused and misguided. Romney has advocated for firing three cabinet officials because of the Obama administration's policies on energy and the environment. Romney has gone on record opposing increase in fuel economy standards. These are standards that reduce greenhouse gas emissions, reduce air and water pollution, save consumers money at the pump, increase jobs, increase energy security, increase our sense of optimism in this country where we can face, we can identify the major challenges facing this country, we can face those challenges, and we can solve them. We can meet those challenges with a clean energy plan. So we're very excited about this report that's being released today, and we're very excited about the choices that we'll face in November to build on this great success. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. And now I'd like to call on Steve Nadell, the Executive Director of the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. Steve?
Okay, thanks. I'm very happy to join this illustrious crew here in releasing this report. ACEEE is a nonprofit research organization founded in 1980 that does work on the nexus between policies and programs and the technologies to save energy. We're the number crunchers, if you will, behind the analysis in this report. As David noted, our analysis indicates that by 2030, the proposed fuel economy standards will result in a net increase in 570,000 jobs. This includes about 50,000 jobs in vehicle manufacturing. Now, these jobs are created in two ways. First, jobs are created to design and produce more efficient cars and the parts used in those cars. That's the roughly 50,000 direct jobs in vehicle manufacturing. Second, consumers save money on their fuel bills, and then they re-spend those fuel savings in ways that help the economy to grow. That's the additional 500,000 or so jobs. Yes, more efficient cars will cost a little bit more. They have better engineering. They have additional components, computers, et cetera. But the fuel savings more than outweighs this. In fact, our analysis indicates that on a discounted present value basis, the value of the fuel savings is nearly double the increase in cost. So it's all of those fuel savings that help drive a lot of these jobs. I'd also note that our analysis is for net jobs. We look at the jobs that are gained in auto manufacturing, in vehicle parts, as well as in things like producing steel or even jobs in a restaurant to help serve those factory workers, to help the family who's just saved on the fuel bill spend some of their savings. So all of those jobs are created, but then some jobs are lost in the energy sector. If you burn less gasoline, there will be some less jobs there. But we gain jobs overall because the energy sector is not very labor intensive. It's mostly capital intensive. So even if we do lose a few jobs in the energy sector, we gain many more jobs in these other sectors. I'd also point out that many of those energy sector jobs might be overseas in the case of oil. Some are here, but many are overseas. So that's why we're getting such a strong jobs effect. I would note that we've been doing these macroeconomic analyses for nearly two decades now, and this is fairly typical because these energy efficiency savings are basically much more labor intensive. I'd also note that we found out that in this analysis by 2030, we will increase our GDP as a result of these fuel economy standards by about $75 billion, and that's in 2010 dollars, so also helps the overall economy. And finally, I'd point out that even though that these job gains are impressive, but our economic analysis does not factor in many other valuable benefits, whether it's improved energy security, reduced pollution, improved export potential for U.S. manufacturers. Those are not included, and that's above and beyond among the many benefits of the fuel economy standards. So with that, let me turn it back over to our moderator.
Thank you very much, Steve. And rounding out our panelists today, I'd like to call on Peter Lehner, the Executive Director of the Natural Resource Defense Council and a member of the Blue-Green Alliance Board. Peter?
Thanks, Dave. And again, thank you all for listening in, and a pleasure being here with my colleagues. We know that Americans need and want to move around and move our goods around. But we also know that America spends $1 billion a day on foreign oil, and that overall transportation accounts for 2 out of every 3 barrels of oil we burn and produces nearly 1/3 of our greenhouse gas pollution. A key part to solving the transportation need challenge without the environmental harm is more efficient vehicles. And the innovation and advanced technology needed to reach the 54.5 miles a gallon standard by 2025 will help us solve that problem and, again, make us a global leader in the auto industry. How do we know that? We know that because we're already seeing the results. Drivers today, so we're not talking 2017 or 2025, today have twice the number of fuel-efficient car options than just 3 years ago. The technology and the fuel savings are now only going to improve thanks to these stronger fuel efficiency standards. And by the way, I should say that just this morning, the U.S. Federal Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit upheld the EPA rules underlying these standards, the endangerment finding, as well as the first round of clean car standards. That's a major win by a unanimous panel of the District of Columbia Court of Appeals. And as consumers look to trade cars in over time, they'll have the latest in fuel savings technology available to them, putting money back in their pocket. How much money? Well, this is an average of over $4,000 saved per vehicle. And these savings go to us, not to the big oil companies. And as has been explained, these go right to the consumers, get reinvested in the economy, leading to over 500,000 jobs in the report that, as is explained before. We know that innovation is the source of jobs generally. In the auto industry, as in many other industries, we've seen this time and time again. More innovation, more jobs. Now, of course, there are often commercial pressures for innovation, maybe in the consumer electronics area. But environmental standards also drive innovation, and we've actually seen that time and again. We've seen that in dozens of industries, when there are environmental safeguards imposed, that drives innovation that had been latent, that had not been taken or followed before. And now we're seeing that in the auto industry. In response to these standards, to the standards issued by the federal government under President Obama, the industry is now innovating like it hasn't before. They're making cleaner cars. They're, frankly, just as much fun to drive, or even more so for those of you if you have a chance to get into some of these new cars. We all know that necessity is the mother invention. Well, it turns out that environmental safeguards are also the mother of invention. And with that invention comes innovation and clean jobs and oil independence. You know, I started working on fuel efficiency standards actually in the late 1980s when I sued President Reagan on behalf of some governments for rolling back fuel efficiency standards then in effect. And we saw back then the benefits for jobs, for clean air, and for oil dependence from clean car standards. So based on that, it was clear that these clean car standards that President Obama announced in 2009 would, again, be good for our wallets, good for our economy, good for jobs, and good for the environment. And as this report illustrates, moving ahead even further now to the 54.5 mile a gallon standards will lead to even more innovative ways to make our cars work better, make the environment cleaner, and put people back to work. Thank you. And now back to Dave Foster.
Thank you very much, Peter. Before throwing it open for questions, I want to take a second to thank the authors of this report, Chris Bush and Rod McCulloch of the Blue-Green Alliance, Skip Leitner of AC Tripoli, and Ivana Stosic, an intern for the Blue Green Alliance, for all the hard work that they did, and remind all the reporters who are on today of the White House event tomorrow, focusing in on the same subject of auto innovation, jobs, and independence from foreign oil.